Please welcome Rosemary Hook.
Thank you for staying around for this story. So this is the Hook plaid shirt story, and this is definitely by any means. So it was a cold December Monday, and my husband and I had both been in and out of the house all morning long. He was in an exam week, so he didn't have class, and I probably was supposed to be on campus but was goofing off. And there was 1 hour in which neither of us were home, and that is when the burglars struck. Fortunately, he had gotten home before I had and probably had disrupted the burglary in progress. He had already called the police, they had already been there and taken a report, so that by the time that I came in, I didn't notice immediately that the flat screen TV, the new flat screen television, was gone. But I saw him come in from the garage, and he said, "We've been broken into." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, all right." I said, "Well, what are you doing in the garage?" And so I followed him out there, and in the middle of this empty garage, there was my black duffel bag that was had been unzipped and was wide open and obviously waiting for stuff to be put in there. So he wanted to check out his tools and make sure, and he said, "Well, you should go upstairs and make sure that everything's okay and see if there's anything that's missing." And I'm like, okay. So I start walking up the stairs, big lead feet, because I'm just sick to my stomach that people have been rifling through our things. And I get into the master bedroom, and I look in my closet. I see where they've taken the bag, and it's a little bit mussed there, but pretty much everything seems like it's okay. And then I walk over to his closet, which, by the way, is the much larger closet. It is twice the size of mine, at least, and it has two doors on it. So I open it up, and I'm looking, and he's a very neat man. And everything seems to look okay, and I think to myself, why in the hell couldn't they have stolen these stupid plaid shirts? And then I hear him shout from downstairs, "Is anything missing?" And I got this wonderful, awful idea. And so I run over to the banister and I say, "No, everything looks good, looks okay, looks all right." And I run back into the room and I start yanking all of those plaid shirts off of the hangers. And I'm throwing them on the bed behind me, this big king bed. And I get them all off. It's probably maybe 15, maybe 20 max. I run back over to the banister and I'm listening. Nope, he's still in the garage. Okay, I come back in, and my heart is just pounding so hard. It's so loud in my ears. And so I take all these shirts, and I pull them off the bed, and there's no plan here, right? But I have an opportunity, by any means, to get rid of these plaid shirts. So I roll them all up, and I shove them underneath the bed, which is kind of elevated high, but we have this chocolate-covered skirt that surrounds the whole thing, and I'm like, there could be dead bodies in right there. He would not go underneath that bed. So I think he will never find these for weeks, months. And I have no real plan other than maybe I can just get him to stop wearing these plaid shirts. So I'm thinking, okay, weeks or months before he's going to even notice that they're gone. 2 days later, we're both getting ready in the morning. I'm in the bathroom. He is standing in front of his large closet. And I hear him say, "I think some of my shirts are missing." And I am not going to make any kind of eye contact with him at all. So I keep doing whatever it is that I'm doing. When he says it again, he said, "Babe, I think some stuff's gone." So I walk over there, and I'm going to stand in solidarity and look at him into the closet at this outrageous situation. And then I lean in, and I said, "Well, no, here's your flannel's right here, honey. Here you go, there's your shirts." And I walk back to the bathroom, and then I hear him say, "The plaids are missing." And so now I turn on the blow dryer, which I rarely ever use, just to block out the sound. And I said, "Well, that just is ridiculous." I said, because that would mean that not only were they ill-mannered and breaking into our home, but that they have bad taste to boot. And I just kick that door shut with my foot, and I'm like, I'm all done. Okay. So then a couple more days later, it's Saturday morning. I get up earlier than him. I'm downstairs. I'm making coffee. I hear him start to come down. I'm going to meet him at the bottom of the stairs, give him a kiss good morning. I look up, and I'm, oh, because what does he have on? but one of those plaid shirts. And I'm thinking, all right, okay. But in my brain, I'm like, he found them. Why didn't he say anything? I should have burned those shirts. I said, well, okay, so there you go, honey. There's your plaid shirts. He said, this was in the guest closet. The damn guest closet. And of course, it happened to be the one that I hated the most. This was a shirt he'd had for 25, probably 30 years. It used to be flannel now. It was just thinning thin. And it was the color of if someone had had mustard and ketchup and Pepto-Bismol as their dinner, like no salads, just that, and then vomited it out and let it sit in the hot Texas sun and then said, hey, look at that color. Let's make that into a plaid shirt. That was the color of this shirt. So I begin to walk away, and then I hear him say, I don't think they took them. Well, you know, this vomit plaid shirt has made me feel bold. So I turn to him and I look and I say, well, honey, if they didn't take them, what did you do with them? Now, my husband was a scientist. And so I can see him processing this data in his little brain. And he didn't know if his wife was truly evil or only suspected evil. So he said nothing, right? Because he wasn't going to say anything that wasn't 100% accurate. Okay? A week goes by. His best friend, Kelly the Canadian, flies in from Calgary. And usually when Kelly comes into town, we all go out, and we did that. But there was one evening, the night before he's going to leave, and I said, oh, you know what? You guys should go out and have a boys' night and go flirt with people. Pretend you're single. And I said, honey, by the way, you know, you probably should drive, you know, because Kelly, he drinks too much. You should drive. So he drove. Well, Kelly had an SUV. And in between when that house break-in happened and when he realized his shirts were missing, I took those shirts from out from underneath that bed and I had put them in a black plastic bag and had stuck it in the closet in the garage, assuming no one goes into that closet because I don't, so I assume he didn't. So now that Kelly's there, I take those shirts and I put that bag in the back of his truck. Well, Kelly is going to leave from us the next morning, and he's going down to Port Aransas on the Texas coast, right? I'm not really, again, I have no plan, but I had a chance to get rid of these plaid shirts, and that's all I knew. So Kelly, he leaves. A couple hours later, a phone call comes through, and honestly, I'm not really sure if it's my phone or my husband's phone. I intercept it either way, and I'm like, what do you need, Kelly? He goes, Mrs. Hook. He goes, Why are your husband's shirts in my truck? It's possible that I may have threatened his life. I'm not really sure. But Kelly's a good sport. So he took those shirts, took them down to Port Aransas, and he had some fun with them. He put them out on the beach on big pieces of driftwood, took photos of them. Eventually, at some point, he took them up to Calgary. Calgary in the winter, he and his sons made snowmen. They put the plaid shirts on them. He took photos, and then Calgary in the springtime, and he hung them around the on flowers and trees and took photos of them. Okay. So now, 2 years pass, and our life is completely different. And I walk into my husband's room, and he's lying in the hospital bed that is in our house. And he is terminal with pancreatic cancer. And I have spent the last 365 days with him 24/7. And I'm no doctor of any kind, but I know that things are close. And he had loved those plaid shirts. And I had loved him. And so I wished in that moment that he had had a plaid shirt to wear every single day. And so I walk in, and I sit down on the chair, and I lean over, and I pull his hand towards me, and I start to rub it, and I said, honey, I have to talk to you about something. I need to tell you something. And he's kind of laid back a little bit, and his eyes are closed, and he opens them, and he looks at me, and he says, don't tell me, babe. I don't want to know, thinking probably that I'm going to confess some infidelity. And I first start to weep just sort of silently, and then it starts to really get some momentum behind it because I just really feel horrible about this. And as I'm crying, I can almost barely get the words out, but I said, "I took the shirts." He opens his eyes. He leans forward. He can't be but 98 pounds at this point. He just lifts himself forward, and he goes, "I knew it was you. I knew it was you." And I was, "I'm so sorry." And he accused me of throwing them away, and I was happy to let him know that they were alive and well and living in Canada. And he said, "Kelly knew?" And I said, "Well, not right away, honey. He didn't know until they got to Port Aransas." He said, "They were in Port Aransas?" Because that was a place that we went to often. We were in, and actually the plaid shirts were there a number of times when we were there, and even I didn't know that. If there was another human that had loved my husband more than I did, it was probably Kelly. And so I waited a year before I sent him a note and asked him if he would feel okay with mailing me back the shirts. And he did. And I took those shirts, plus the three that my husband had that he wore every single weekend for that first year after. And I put those all together and I sent them off to a quilt. A woman in Austin who does quilts, and had a memorial quilt made because I was determined to have those shirts back by any means. So, thank you.